Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio.
Give from the heart.
Give from the heart.
To the radio station that supports you heart and soul.
This is the Relevant Radio Winter Pledge Drive. Give from the heart.
Hey, welcome to the show today. So glad you've joined me on the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. It is Pledge Drive week, our Winter Pledge Drive. That's why we have the extra special music. It's not really my cup of tea, but nonetheless, here we go. And we're going to start the show with a memorare. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was ever left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To you do we come, before you we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer us. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Of course, we're praying those memorares at the top of every hour for an end to abortion in the United States and all around the world, and also, of course, for the success of our Winter Pledge Drive. And the theme, of course, is Give from the Heart. We'll have much more about that later. And in the secular world, a couple of, I guess you could say, holidays today. In the secular world, it's, of course, Groundhog Day. And if you've seen the classic Bill Murray film of the same name, you'll know what I mean when I say, welcome to Groundhog Day. In other words, we're kind of living out Groundhog Day, the movie, because this is the exact same day we've been living for the last 325 COVID days, right? I mean, every day seems almost exactly the same, just like in the film. And we were just talking before we went on the air. Producer Lucas Holt is convinced that Punxsutawney Phil, the groundhog from Pennsylvania, is in fact a liar because he says that we're going to have six more weeks of winter, according to him, right? Isn't that true, Lucas?
That is true, yeah.
And you're upset about this, of course.
I am.
As of course you would be, living in Green Bay. But okay. But you should know. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, well, you're going to have to tell people what you told me off air about.
Yeah.
Apparently, there's also groundhogs in Canada.
There are. We have groundhogs, too. Yeah, they're basically just really large squirrels, right? Well, there's a couple in Canada I know. There's probably a few of them. But you should know that there is a little bit of good news coming from north of the border. I don't know whether this has to do with the exchange rate on the dollar or not. The Canadian groundhogs are saying that we're going to have an early spring. There's Wyarton Willie, who's based out of Wyarton, Ontario. And where I'm from, the province I'm from, is called Nova Scotia on the East Coast. And there's a groundhog there by the name of Shubenacadie Sam. And I don't know what Shubenacadie Sam is saying today, but I do know that Wyarton Willie said early spring. So I don't know who's right.
Like Wyarton Willie.
Yeah, he's a good guy, like Wyarton Willie. Yeah, you'll go with that. Well, anyway, so they'll have to duke it out. You know, Punxsutawney Phil and Wyarton Willie will have to have like a cage match to figure out, you know, who's correct about this. But that's what's going on in the secular world. But we have much bigger squirrels to fry, if you will. Sorry for the visual on that. I'm not suggesting you barbecue these fine creatures. But it is a different day in the Catholic world. And this is, of course, guess what? The Feast of the Presentation. It used to be known as Candlemas. But that means it's really time. It's time now, today, finally. And I hate to say this because I love everything about Christmas. I love keeping my tree up as long as possible. I did take my outside Christmas lights off the house so the neighbors wouldn't freak out. I waited till the end of the modern day age, end of the Christmas age, which is, of course, the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord. I did take down my lights then, but I rebelled on the inside. I kept my tree up until today because today, of course, is the Feast of the Presentation. And in the old days, in the old liturgical form, the Christmas season wouldn't actually end until today, which actually formed a nice little triptych, a nice little set of three. There were 40 days for the Christmas season, 40 days for Lent, and 40 days for Easter, celebrate the resurrection. Very nice. Nice balance there. But that's not the official end of the Christmas season now, but a lot of people still live that tradition of keeping the tree up until today, of course, the Feast of the Presentation of the Lord. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that because there's a lot we can learn from this. There are, of course, these two characters in the biblical text, and we see this really narrated in the Gospel of Luke. And Luke, of course, in all likelihood, interviewed Our Lady, interviewed Mary as he was writing his gospel. And so he's got a lot of inside baseball, a lot of great stories about the early life of our Lord, which are unique to him and his gospel. And of course, it's in Luke where we meet the figures of Simeon and Anna, these elderly individuals who are still serving God with all their heart and all their might. And I think this is really one of the great lessons of the presentation narrative, that all of us have a role in God's plan. The elderly have a role in God's plan. We live in a culture, we live in a throwaway culture in general, as Pope Francis has said, and the elderly are a group that are often thrown away and forgotten about. And we've heard all kinds of terrible stories about COVID and how it's ripping through nursing homes and homes for the elderly, and they're at great risk. And this whole thing is just incredibly sad, but God has a plan for our lives from conception to natural death. And we see this in Luke's gospel as well. We see John the Baptizer, of course, who is jumping for joy when Jesus comes to him inside the womb of the Virgin Mary. She's the Ark of the New Covenant. And so we see that even the unborn are very precious in God's sight. And last week, of course, as we marked the terrible anniversary of Roe versus Wade, we recalled that extreme truth. But now we have to think about the other side of life, those who are very, very close to seeing our Lord, you know, in terms of time in this world. And so let's take a look at the text. Let's open it up to Luke chapter 2. And I'm going to read this to you. So you don't even have to grab your Bible if you don't want. I'll read it. And here's what it says. And this starts with verse 22. It says, "When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him," and that's of course Jesus, "to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, 'Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel.' The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'This child is destined to cause the rising and falling of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." This is an absolutely marvelous gospel, and I'm going to break this down for you in just a minute. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. 1-888-914-9149 is the number to call. You can also tweet at me, at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. We have a show account, too, at Cale Clark Show. And, of course, the email address is cale@relevantradio.com. We're going to talk a little bit about what the presentation was all about, what it really meant, and what it means to be an elderly person in God's plan. We're all getting older for sure, and we're all, every moment, a moment closer to meeting Christ. So we've got to really think about this, and we'll be back to talk much more about this after this miracle moment.
Hi, it's Father Rocky, and we're going to borrow something from Father Simon Says and do the word of the day. The word of the day is diptych, D-I-P, T-Y-C-H. Do you know what a diptych is? A diptych is a painting, especially an altarpiece, on two hinged wooden panels, which may be closed like a book, but you want to keep this one open. Now, why am I talking about a diptych? Well, this is why. At the $50 a month level, our thank you gift is an Immaculate Heart and Sacred Heart wood diptych. That's Mary and Jesus. Absolutely beautiful artwork, and it was handcrafted in Steubenville, Ohio. Check it out for yourself at relevantradio.com or on the Relevant Radio app. Give at the $50 a month level, and our thank you gift is the beautiful diptych of the Blessed Mother and her Immaculate Heart and our Lord and His Sacred Heart. Give from the heart now at relevantradio.com, on the Relevant Radio app, or by calling 877-291-0123.
That is a great level to give at, that $50 a month level. And I have to tell you, Cale, I was actually really impressed when I saw the diptych. I thought, oh, it's going to be a tiny little one that's, you know, a little nice tabletop. It was actually bigger than I expected.
Really?
Full color, glossy. Yeah, it really is quite nice. So if you'd consider giving at that $50 a month level, it's a wonderful thank you gift. And during this hour of the Cale Clark Show, anybody who donates during this hour, they're going to have their donation matched dollar for dollar as well.
Wow.
So that $50 each month turns into $100 given to Relevant Radio because of the matching funds. So again, you can donate online, relevantradio.com, or through the Relevant Radio app, or you can give us a call at 877-291-0123. And Cale, do you know how many years then Anna was in the temple fasting and praying?
Okay.
I
do.
All right.
You know, people will be shocked when I tell them how old she actually was. But I'm going to save that till after the break. So.
All right. Good. Yeah, no,
suspense.
It was something
a bit of a cliffhanger.
I just did the math myself, and I said, wow, that's a long time.
Yeah, it's even longer than you think, as I will explain. But yeah, it's amazing. And you know, one thing that you just mentioned, the fact that today is a day in which you can double your investment in eternity with Relevant Radio, with this pledge matching that we have from generous donors. Aren't too many investments in the world where you're guaranteed 100% rate of return. This is one of them. I don't know if you've been following the stock market lately, but there's this little stock called GameStop. You might want to avoid that. That's all I have to say. But you will never be disappointed if you invest in sharing the gospel with the entire world. And that's what you're doing when you're giving from the heart with Relevant Radio. All you have to do is call 1-877-291-0123. We've got friendly people standing by to take your call, but not too many of them. Because of COVID, we can't have too many people in the building. We can't have as many volunteers as we'd love to have. So it's always easier to go online. You'll never get a busy signal. Just go to relevantradio.com and the Relevant Radio app. Plus, as Josh will explain in just a moment, you're going to get an extra bonus if you donate online or through the app, right, Josh?
Oh, that's exactly right. In fact, it's a fantastic way that you can prepare for Lent. Father Rocky, he recorded this MP3 that we'll send to you immediately, and it's called Jumpstart Your Lent. If you're looking for some great ideas on how you can make the most of this Lent, he's going to go back to those three pillars, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, and help you have ideas on how you can really focus on those. Some practical suggestions for you. That's for anybody who donates online. And again, those online donations match dollar for dollar as well. So make that pledge right now, relevantradio.com or the Relevant Radio app, or give us a call, 877-291-0123.
Explaining the faith so you can explain it to others. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Hey, welcome back to the program. I gave you a little cliffhanger during that miracle moment / pledge drive moment that I had with Josh there just now. I don't know what to call those pledge drive moments. I don't know. Anyways, they're fun conversations. It's always great to talk to Josh. And it's always great to talk to you. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, as that lovely voice of Julie just told you as we came back from that break. Now, I promised that I would tell you exactly how old Anna really is. I was going to save this for a little bit later, but I'll just tell you right now. In all likelihood, the truth is, now, in the text I just read you, in a lot of English translations, it says that she's 84 years old. In truth, she's probably a lot older. She's probably about 105 years old. And you say, what? Well, here's the deal. It seems more likely. It's really hard to tell from the Greek text whether they're talking about her age, 84 years, or that's how long she's been a widow. Most people think it's how long she was actually a widow. Now, most ladies at that time were married about the age of 14 in the first century. And so if she had been married for 7 years, and if she had been a widow for 84 years, she was in all likelihood about 105 years old when that happened. Unbelievable. But she was still serving God with all her might. She wasn't slowing down at all. And that's a really interesting lesson for us, to be sure. So it's also interesting, too, when you look at the text of Luke's gospel. It says that when Mary and Joseph went to the temple for the, you know, to sort of complete this purification ritual, if you will, it says when the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed. That means Joseph and Mary. It's very interesting to think that Joseph would have had to be purified at some level, too. Well, why is that? Well, by the way, this has nothing to do with sin, and I'm going to have to do another show about this topic later on because it's a very interesting topic. There are all these purity laws, quote-unquote, in ancient Israel. For example, don't touch a leper, that sort of thing. When Jesus tells the parable of the Good Samaritan, one of the reasons why the priest passes by this guy on the side of the road who might be dead, you know, should I help this guy? Well, no, I'm supposed to serve at the temple in 10 minutes, and if I touch this guy, he might be dead. If I touch a dead body, I'd be considered unclean. I'm going to have to purify myself for 2 weeks. Kind of like going into COVID quarantine, if you will. And I don't have time for that, so I'm just going to keep going. Yeah. Lovely to see how you're putting your religion into practice there. At any rate, that's the kind of thing that's going on here. These are just purity laws. It has nothing to do with sin or anything like that. Obviously, Our Lady has nothing to do with sin herself. And so, because Joseph probably helped in delivering the child Jesus, he would have been in contact with the forces of life and death, blood, all that sort of stuff. And so, he would have had to be sort of purified according to the law as well. He would have had to make a sacrifice for himself. Now, one of the things that we can learn from what Mary and Joseph were doing here was that we know, this is even more proof, that Jesus was not a lawbreaker. One of the things that Jesus will be accused of by the religious leaders of his day is breaking the laws of God. Jesus did not come to break the laws. He came to fulfill the laws of God. And this is what he says all the time, over and over again in the Gospels. And so this is a great example of this. He came from a family that upheld all of the laws of Israel, including this one, presenting the firstborn child to the Lord and making this sacrifice. So Jesus' roots of piety are very, very deep. And there are really three separate ceremonies that happened, by the way, when parents did this. First of all, there was the purification rites for the woman 40 days after the birth of a child. And you can read about this, if you want to, in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, chapter 12, verses 2 to 4, and also verse 6. So that was the first thing, the purification of a woman 40 days after childbirth. The second thing that they were doing there was dedicating their firstborn into the service of the Lord. And you can read about this in the first book of Samuel, chapters 1 and 2. It's also interesting to note that in a lot of non-Catholic Christian denominations, they often don't do infant baptism. We do in the Catholic Church because it's biblical. This is the historic practice of the church. But you might have seen this if you have non-Catholic friends. In a lot of Protestant congregations, they'll do something called a baby dedication service. They're copying it from this practice, if you will, this Old Testament practice of dedicating the firstborn to the Lord's service. But we have something much more than that. We actually want to give them the life of God himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in baptism. So this rite of purification that Mary and Joseph would have been doing would have involved a couple of things. Making a burnt sacrifice, the offering of a burnt sacrifice, and also a sin offering. Now, what's mentioned here is turtle doves or two young pigeons. This was the gift of very often the poor when they would go to the temple for this. Now, if you're from a wealthy family, you'd bring a lamb. You'd bring your own lamb for it to be slaughtered in the temple. What's kind of ironic about this, and this is really delicious irony, is that they are bringing the true Lamb of God into the temple, and it's his temple. It belongs to him. In the first reading today at Mass, I believe it's from the book of Malachi, where it says, the Lord that you seek will suddenly appear in his temple. And that's actually what happened. Mary and Joseph are there with the infant Jesus. They're blending into the crowd with all these other parents. Little do they know, all these other people that are there, the Lord of the universe has just walked in. The guy who owns the place, he's here. Now, a couple people do figure this out, Simeon and Anna, and we'll talk about them in just a couple of minutes. But it's really just really exciting. And so they offer this sacrifice. And again, Joseph was involved in this too. But it just speaks to how seriously Jews took when it came to this idea of when you approach God in worship, you've got to be prepared. You've got to have a heart, a soul, a mind, and a body ready to meet God. And this is the purpose of all these purity laws of ancient Israel. It's all about the holiness of God. You can't just walk into his presence casually. You can't walk into, it's like walking into your local parish for Mass, carrying a Starbucks in your hand. You're just taking it very casually. Oh yeah, I could just drink this during Mass. No, you can't actually. And that's really what's going on here. So there's a little bit of an application here for us as well in the modern day. But as Joseph and Mary proceed into the temple, they meet Simeon, who was righteous and devout. Now, we don't know, this probably happened, by the way, if you know what the temple layout was, this probably either happened in the court of the Gentiles or in the court of the women, because there were these barriers to entry, right? The temple is set up just like the universe is set up. The universe was set up with the Garden of Eden. And in our sister program, The Faith Explained, right now, we're talking about that. We're talking about the Garden of Eden. We're talking about the first man, the first woman, how they walked with God and talked with him and communed with him before sin entered the world. It's a very exciting place in the book. Well, the temple in Jerusalem was set up just like God set up the universe. The Holy of Holies was kind of like the presence of God. And next to that, of course, the garden. And just outside the very holy place in the temple was the Holy of Holies. There were the menorah. The menorah was meant to symbolize the tree of life from the book of Genesis. That's why it sort of looks the way it does with this candelabra look to it. It's meant to be the branches of a tree. And there are all these furnishings that are meant to echo the Garden of Eden. And then you walk out and you get further and further away from the presence of God. And then eventually, if you get far enough, you're outside the temple courts, you're outside the camp. And this is exactly how ancient Israel set up in the wilderness as well. So the closer you get, the closer you get to the presence of God. So this encounter between Simeon, Mary, and Joseph probably took place either in the court of the Gentiles or in the court of women, since Mary is there. In the first century, women were not allowed to go past a certain point. And even if you go to Jerusalem today, and you see what's left of the temple, you see the Western Wall, or what's known as the Wailing Wall. And I've been there a few times, and maybe I'll get to take you there one day on a tour. But they do separate. You can't, men and women pray in separate areas. Maybe part of the reason is they don't want the guys to be distracted by the latest fashions, shall we say, as they're trying to worship God. Anyways, whether or not that's a good idea, we can talk about that another time. But this is the way it was set up, and this is, in fact, the way it still is today. At the ruins of the temple. Pretty interesting stuff. So Simeon is so thrilled to meet this couple. And I'll tell you exactly how excited he was after this really, really short break. So here we have it. It is Pledge Drive week. We're getting ready to help you give from the heart here on Relevant Radio. It's Cale Clark Show.
Almost halfway through this hour of the Cale Clark Show, but not quite there. We've got about 33 minutes to go here in this hour, and that's 33 minutes that your donation will be matched dollar for dollar. You can make that pledge right now online at relevantradio.com, through the Relevant Radio app, or by calling us at 877-291-0123. I'm Josh Raymond, along with Cale Clark, and Cale, we have heard from every state in the U.S. except for one. There's only one that's a holdout.
Which one?
Yeah. It's actually up near you. It's Alaska.
Alaska.
That's the only one.
I'm not that far north. Yeah, I live in Toronto. I'm probably south of where you are.
I just meant, you know, it was adjacent to the great land of Canada. We've heard from a good number of Canadians out there, too, out in Alberta, British Columbia, Newfoundland. Let's see, Ontario, Saskatchewan. Yeah.
Wow.
I think I'm pronouncing all of them right.
Yeah, you did very well. But I thought you were about to ask me, "Hey, do you know that guy Larry up in Canada?" I thought you were going to say something like that. You know, I get that a lot. You know, it's a pretty big place up here. You know, it's big in terms of land, but yeah, quite a few people.
I keep all of my Canadian teasing for off the air for you, Kale.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, it's amazing when you talk about this donation matching program that's going on right now. It's amazing. It's a great way to double your impact as we try to share the gospel with the entire world through Relevant Radio, through the internet, through the magic of the internet and our app. You can listen anywhere in the world. As Josh just said, there are people from all over the world listening to us right now. And of course, through the radio. It is not cheap to operate almost 200 radio stations all across the United States. A lot of work, a lot of towers. Things go wrong sometimes. Things need to be fixed. And it's honestly, the fact that we can do this for $2.7 million every quarter is actually kind of a little bit of a miracle in itself. But when you give, you're going to get something too. And I know Josh talked about the diptych earlier, but I also wanted to highlight this beautiful Sacred Heart crucifix that we're offering as well. And if you give just a dollar a day, you can get one of these. And in this text that we're reading for the presentation, of course, Simeon says to Mary, "A sword will pierce your own soul too." Well, that happened when she saw her son really bleeding from his Sacred Heart on the cross. And it's important that we always keep the cross before our eyes. You can get this if you call 1-877-291-0123 or go to relevantradio.com or through the app to give now.
And actually, if you go to the website, you can see that Sacred Heart crucifix. You can see the Immaculate Heart and Sacred Heart diptych. You can see all the different thank you gifts that we have there, depending on what level you want to come in at. But again, remember, any amount that you donate, doesn't matter whether it's $20 or $20,000, it's matched right now when you call. And this hour is going by so quickly. So go to relevantradio.com, the Relevant Radio app, or give us a call, 877-291-0123.
This is the Relevant Radio Winter Pledge Drive.
Give from the heart.
Give from the heart.
Hey, welcome back to the show. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. And during this last break that we just had, Josh Raymond and I were talking off air. He's got some interesting theories about the movie Groundhog Day, which I'm hoping he'll share with you during our next pitch break in just a few minutes. So stay tuned for that. It's pretty interesting as far as theories go. Well, of course, that's a secular kind of thing. But in the Catholic world, we're, of course, celebrating the Feast of the Presentation. It used to be known as Candlemas, and some people still call it that because traditionally, Catholics would have their candles blessed on this day because this is when the light of the world, Jesus Christ, came into the temple and really shined forth the glory of your people, Israel, as Simeon says. I want to pick up on this figure of Simeon. He's mentioned, of course, in Luke chapter 2 when Joseph and Mary present our Lord Jesus in the temple. And of course, God promised him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. That's a great promise. And I'm sure he might have had some doubts along the way. Is this really going to happen? He was getting up there as far as age goes, but he was really very much in touch with God and with the Holy Spirit, of course. And so he had a great sense of expectation, to be sure. And the Spirit told him this is going to happen. And so when he does see Jesus, he breaks into this hymn of praise, and it's known in Latin as the Nunc Dimittis, and that's the way that it begins in Latin. Usually a lot of these hymns and canticles are taken from the first words of the prayer or the song in Latin. And here's what he says in the English translation: "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace." And this "now dismiss" means Nunc Dimittis in Latin. "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel." And, you know, there's a bit of a sadness here as well, as he says to Mary. This seems quite hopeful, but after he blesses them, he says to Mary, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. And as I mentioned just a few minutes ago, this actually happened to her. It was far worse than being pierced with a natural sword, seeing her son die. Your son, who you also know is God incarnate. What must that have been like? None of us will ever know the anguish that she felt at the foot of the cross. And she began to experience that even back then. So this child represents God's salvation for the whole world. Jesus is the light. And Luke has already talked about this in his gospel back in chapter 1. He's talked about Jesus as the light. And this light shines in the darkness. In John's gospel, it says about Jesus, this light has shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not understood it. You know, when people turn the lights on, they're sleeping, they often don't like it. They want to pull the covers up over their head. In the book of Isaiah, and the book of Isaiah is so much in the background here, in Isaiah chapter 9, this passage we read at Christmas time about the coming of Emmanuel, you know, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. It says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And sometimes people don't want the light. They want to stay in the dark. But Jesus is the light for all people. Revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people, Israel, as Simeon says. Now, he's a revelation to the Gentiles because he's going to fulfill God's plan, which he gave to Abraham. And we'll get into this on The Faith Explained when we get to the life of Abraham. When God said, your descendants will be as the stars in heaven, and you're going to be a blessing to all peoples, God already had this plan in mind that all the Gentiles would be brought in, united with Israel in the one church, Jew and Gentile together. And so this is going to be fulfilled in Jesus. But Simeon also says that he is the glory of Israel. Now, I'll talk a little bit more about this, time permitting, but the bottom line here is that Israel was always supposed to be a light to all the other nations. Now, sometimes they did a great job of that, but if you look through salvation history, sometimes it didn't happen that way. Sometimes they fell off the wagon and started worshiping other gods and doing terrible things. But Jesus is the glory of Israel, and he is going to draw all people to the Messiah of Israel himself. He's like a great magnet. And so you can imagine Mary and Joseph just marveling at what's going on with Simeon. Just unbelievable stuff. And one of the things that Simeon says is that people's destinies are going to hinge on their response to Jesus of Nazareth. He says he's going to cause the rising and the falling of many. And again, this imagery comes from the book of Isaiah, but it's often used even in the New Testament to describe people's different reactions to Jesus. And I'm just going to look up a verse for you. This is from the first letter of Peter, chapter 2. And I'm just going to look this up for you. Hang on here. My screen went dead. I'm going to just type in my password. And oh, yes, here it is. This is an incredible, incredible verse. This is 1 Peter chapter 2. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and he who believes in him will not be put to shame. Now, who do you think the cornerstone is? Obviously, it's Jesus. To you, therefore, who believe, he is precious, but for those who do not believe, the very stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that will make men stumble, a rock that will make them fall. For they stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. So you have a choice. You can either build your life on the foundation stone, the cornerstone of Christ, or you can trip and fall flat on your face, because your eternal destiny is going to depend on your reaction to this child, to this infant, to this person, Jesus, who is more than just a human person who grew up before the eyes of the world and before his parents on earth, his foster father, Joseph. And of course, in this year dedicated to St. Joseph, we have to be especially devoted to him. And of course, the Blessed Virgin Mary. He's more than that. He is also the eternal God as well. And so your reaction to Jesus is basically your reaction to God. You can't say, well, I reject Jesus, but I'm okay with God. No, no, no. To reject Jesus is to reject God. That's the thing that people have to understand here. And this is going to be obviously a big source of pain to Mary. And it hurts her motherly heart as well to see anyone reject her son, especially watching him be rejected by his fellow Israelites and by the Romans as well as he is crucified. Nothing can be done to avoid the sword that's going to pierce her own soul. And by the way, that starts happening. These little, you know, tiny little cuts from the sword start appearing in the very next event in Luke's gospel. Because what happens right after this? Well, Jesus stays behind in Jerusalem. He gets lost, if you will. And his parents are absolutely worried, sick. They don't know what's happened to them, to him. And of course, they come back and they find him teaching in the temple. We all know that story when he's about 11 or so years old. And so this is only the start of the splinters of the cross that Mary herself is going to experience in her life. Well, listen, I'm going to tell you about Anna, a little bit more about her. And however old she was up there. That is for sure. I hope to get to that point. But anyways, we'll have much more on her after this really quick miracle moment.
Bringing Christ to the world through the media, here's another miracle moment on Relevant Radio.
Let's go to Vicki in Chandler, Arizona. Good morning, Vicki. Welcome.
Good morning, Patrick. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I want to thank you, first of all, for you and Relevant Radio for the life-changing blessing you have been in my life. I'm a convert, and when I converted, I really didn't know anything, didn't understand anything, and it never sunk in. I kind of fell away again, but then I stumbled upon Relevant Radio 2 years ago, and it has been such a blessing, and I can't even begin to tell you.
This miracle moment was brought to you by you. Relevant Radio is listener-supported. Help us bring Christ to the world with a financial gift of any amount. You can give on the Relevant Radio app or at relevantradio.com.
You know, I always like those miracle moments, and especially where it says this Relevant Radio miracle moment was made possible by you, because that really is, that's the truth. Relevant Radio would not exist if we didn't have listeners who help support what they hear on Relevant Radio. And so we come to you four times a year. This is one of those times. And, you know, Kale, when I started out in radio, I started out in secular radio, and I never would have thought that I would be on the air on Catholic radio when I first, you know, opened my very first microphone at a radio station, because I wasn't even Catholic at that time.
That's right.
But then on top of that, I never would have thought that I'd be on the air for Catholic radio asking people to give money, you know. If somebody would have said, hey, you know, what do you want to do with your life? Well, I'd like to go on the air and ask people to donate money. that would never have been one of the things. But
I know.
That being said, I see the fruit of what Relevant Radio does, and it makes me so glad to be a part of this apostolate, and it makes me humbled but also proud to be able to ask you to make that sacrificial donation. Mm-hmm. And I know it is a sacrifice. I know it's something where we have to say, all right, well, I'm going to do without something maybe I would have purchased down the road. And that goes for everyone. And in fact, Kale, we usually hear from 10,000 to 12,000 people per pledge drive. That means a lot of people who are coming together saying, we see extreme value in what Relevant Radio brings to our communities and to the globe. So you can make that pledge right now and have it match dollar for dollar when you go to relevantradio.com, pledge on the Relevant Radio app, or call 877-291-0123.
Well, our producer, Lucas Holt, just whispered a challenge in my ear, and this is a challenge to all the listeners of the Cale Clark Show right now. If you love the show, here's the challenge from producer Lucas. I'm blaming this on him 100%. He wants 50 callers to call in the next 15 minutes. We have 15 minutes left in the program, and he wants to see if he can set the record. We want 50 callers to call in the next 15 minutes, and whatever you give, even if it's a dollar a day, well, that's actually really great, and you're going to be able to get that Sacred Heart crucifix that we talked about earlier, which is so gorgeous if you donate even at a dollar a day level. And if you can give more, God may be calling you to give a little bit more, and you need to pray about that. You need to think about that, and you need to give with a cheerful heart, as St. Paul says. 1-877-291-0123, relevantradio.com, or the Relevant Radio app.
And we have got our first two donors that have just made their way through for that challenge. So we need 48 more people to step up. We've got 14 and a half minutes to go. 48 people. RelevantRadio.com, the Relevant Radio app, or again, give us a call, 877-291-0123. Please give from the heart.
Faith, facts, and fun. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the program. So glad that you're with me. Once again, that number to call, 1-888-914-9149. That's the studio line. It's different from the pledge drive line. And, of course, you're going to want to call that number as well, which is, I got to keep all these 800 numbers straight, 1-877-291-0123. So that's a different line, as you know. Well, speaking of calling it in, I'm sure that Simeon and Anna called out to God for a lot of years, as they were both very advanced in age, looking for the Messiah, and their call was answered. And I want to talk a little bit to you about Anna, this figure of Anna. Now, she's mentioned ever so briefly here. And of course, Simeon is really the main figure here, but we can't discount Anna. She's merely introduced very briefly by Luke. Her career is summarized really quickly. But as I said, she's probably over 100 years old, probably somewhere around 105, maybe even a little bit older. And what happened? Well, she was a widow. She was married for 7 years. And then what did she do for the rest of her life, which was quite long? The end was a lot longer than the beginning. She worshiped God faithfully in the temple, prayer, fasting. And I guess you could almost say she was living the life of a New Testament nun in a certain sense. And it's a great reminder for us, because sometimes we have to realize that the most productive years in our life from God's perspective might come later. They might come at the end. They might come when we think we're all used up. But the other day we were talking about Pope Benedict, and way back in like the 90s, he was, I want to retire. I am done. I have nothing left to give. Well, he had a lot left to give. God wasn't through with him, and he's still not through with him. And we pray for our beloved Emeritus Pope Benedict. And just like Simeon, Anna was hoping for the redemption of Jerusalem. And so she tells everybody around her that the baby Jesus is a great reason to praise and thank God. Now, we don't have her actual words. Luke didn't quote her or have a smartphone recording her words verbatim, but we do know that she made everybody around her aware of what God was doing in the life of this infant Christ. And so we've got to do that too. We've got to be evangelists like Anna. Anyway, so Mary and Joseph go back, and they set about raising Jesus, who grows strong. All right, so how can we apply this whole passage to our lives? Well, once again, we have to talk about the fact that the elderly have a place in God's story, in salvation history. It's never too late to turn your life over to God. And maybe you're listening today, and maybe you're advanced in years, and you're thinking, I missed my shot. You know, I didn't serve God when I was younger. Doesn't matter. As St. Paul says, today is the day of salvation. Now is the time. This is the only time that we may have to praise God and dedicate our lives to Him. So we've got to do that. We've got to do that. And so, yes, our experiences are never wasted. That's one of the things we have to understand. God never wastes an experience. And if you've got a few miles on the odometer of life, if you will, you've got a lot of experiences that you can draw on to help other people. It's never too late to minister for God as well. The other thing I think we can derive from this passage is the value of making sacrifices. Now, obviously, the temple system doesn't exist in this period of salvation history. It has been superseded by the one perfect sacrifice of Christ, which is re-presented to us in the Mass. It's not a different sacrifice. Christ is not being sacrificed over and over again, as a lot of non-Catholics like to say. It's not true. We are participating in this once-for-all sacrifice. We're almost time-traveling every time we go to Mass. We are being made present to the one timeless, perfect sacrifice of Christ. The bonds of time and space are broken. But we still have to make sacrifices too. Now, we're not usually bringing, fatted calves or pigeons or anything like that to the parish church around the corner to offer. I'm sure the priest would not really be happy about that. But what am I going to do with this thing? But here's what we can bring. It's ourselves. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Here's what St. Paul says. Here's how he puts it. This is it. Romans 12. It's one of my favorite passages. I appeal to you, therefore, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. You want to know what spirituality is? There's a lot of people who say, oh, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. And most of the people who say that don't go to church, by the way. I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. I'm into spirituality, man. Well, what is true spirituality? St. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. That means your everyday walking around life in the body is spiritual. Everything you do is spiritual. It's not just when you go to Mass. It's when you go to work. It's when you're interacting with your family and your friends. It's in your leisure time. That's spiritual too. It's all spiritual. And this is one of the things we're learning in the Genesis series on Relevant Radio, is that God gave Adam work to do in the garden before sin entered into the world. Work is not a punishment for sin. It's a blessing from God. Everything that we do, it can be offered up to God. And really, that's what happens when we go to Mass. The bread and the wine mixed with water that is offered to God, that represents our work. It's the fruit of our work, which is then transformed into something holy. It's transformed into Christ himself. So there is a divine dimension to our work in our everyday lives that we've got to get in touch with here. Now, here's the problem with a living sacrifice. St. Paul says you're a living sacrifice. The problem with a living sacrifice is that it can always get up and crawl off the altar, right? We can always say no to God, and that's what we've got to be worried about. The other thing that we can do here is think about the concept of purity in worship. Now, obviously, there were these rituals of purity that had to be undergone by Mary and Joseph because of the childbirth factor. What's a parallel in our own time? Well, if we're going to approach the thrice holy God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we also need to be prepared in our bodies, in our spirits, to do that. We dare not present ourselves to receive the Holy Eucharist if we're in a state of mortal sin. St. Paul says you're doubling down here. You're committing the sin of sacrilege if you receive the Eucharist in an unworthy manner. You don't want to do that. You might fool the people around you. You're not fooling God. So we've got to really take advantage of the sacrament of confession, this cleansing, this gift of God that allows us to boldly approach his throne. And so we can't forget that. And again, back to Simeon and Anna. We've got to learn how to be content. We've got to learn how to go full steam ahead. Even if we don't have as much energy as we used to in days gone by, we can still do a lot for God. And then just one last thing. I've just got one last moment here. The fact that Simeon prophesied to Mary, a sword will pierce your own soul too. If there were difficult days ahead for Mary in following her son Jesus, you better believe it's going to be difficult for us as well. Again, Jesus causes sharp reactions, the falling and the rising of many. If the world's hostile to Jesus, they're probably going to be hostile to you and I too, because we are his followers. However, we know God has the ultimate victory. And even in the midst of hostility, we can thank God. Remember in the Acts of the Apostles, you know, the apostles are being threatened. If you preach in this name of Jesus, we're going to kill you. We're going to throw you in prison. They prayed and said, consider their threats, Lord. Consider their threats and enable your servant to preach your word with boldness. Let's do it for the kingdom of God here on Relevant Radio.
All right, down to the last 5 minutes here of the Cale Clark Show, and that is still plenty of time for you to make your pledge right now at relevantradio.com through the Relevant Radio app or by calling 877-291-0123, and any donation that we receive in these last 5 minutes of the Cale Clark Show is going to be matched dollar for dollar. You give $10, it's matched with another $10. You give $100, matched with another $100. Give $1,000 or $5,000, mm-hmm. matched with wow. another $1,000 or $5,000. Whatever level you come in at,
a
it's
billion.
Gonna be matched.
Well,
I don't
there
know.
Are limits, maybe.
I don't know about the billion. I I really don't know if we could match the billion there.
Well, if anyone's willing to give it a shot, right. we'll see if we can come up with the second billion.
If you want to try, we'll do our best. All right. Again, relevantradio.com, the Relevant Radio app, or 877-291-0123. I love what you were saying there, Kale, about how, you know, if Our Lady, if the Blessed Mother was going to have some rough times in her life just by following her son, we shouldn't expect anything less. And we see that echoed again and again. You know, Jesus tells us that in the Beatitudes, you know, blessed are you when people persecute you and revile you in my name. Rejoice and be glad in that day. You know, and then we have St. Paul who says the same thing. He even tells Timothy, he says, if we endure, then we shall reign. So we know that we've got those hardships ahead, but you know, when we have Jesus along with us on that journey, then we know we're going to have that joy that goes along with it. And people will look at us and say, how can you have that joy when you're facing this really tough thing that you're going through? Didn't you see what that person did to you? How are you still so happy? How are you so peaceful? And, you know, that's that peace that goes beyond the understanding of humanity. So that's the kind of programming you're supporting when you make your pledge right now.
Man, Josh, that was so well said that I feel like just handing over the keys of my show to you. I think you should have your own show. And maybe if we, you know, get that second billion, you know, in there, we can afford to hire you and have the Josh Raymond Show on Relevant Radio as well. But I got to tell you, it's so true what you're saying. We're going to go through a lot of things in life, a lot of ups and downs. And one of the things that St. Paul tells us in the New Testament is to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I talked about what true spirituality really is. It's offering yourself, body and soul, to God. And what's the will of God for you? Well, part of it is to give thanks no matter what, in all circumstances, when things are favorable, when they're not. That's beyond our natural ability to do. We need God's help to do that. And we need your help too at Relevant Radio. 1-877-291-0123 is the number to call, or you can donate online. It's secure, it's fast, it's easy. You're never going to get a busy signal. RelevantRadio.com or through the Relevant Radio app.
All right, we're down to just 2 minutes left here in this hour. Plenty of time to make a difference and help us as we're marching forward during our Give from the Heart pledge drive. It's Tuesday, getting towards the end of Tuesday. But we've seen some really, really big generosity today. In fact, we've already heard from about 4,000 people who have stepped up and said, we want to support Relevant Radio. 4,000 people, that's a big number right there.
It really is.
We're going to see more than double that by the time this week is done. And you know what that means? It means, I like to say, it's a lot of people giving a little. It's not just a few people. You know, if somebody wants to give $1 billion, hey, Relevant Radio can do amazing work with that. But quite honestly, it's usually people giving somewhere around $100, $150, $200, $400, $500 and saying, I want to help Relevant Radio and I want to be a part of this. I want to be an evangelist and a partner with what you're doing at Relevant Radio. And that's exactly what you become when you make that pledge. 877-291-0123. Donate online, relevantradio.com, or through the Relevant Radio app.
Yeah, no gift is too small. It's the sacrifice that matters, and no gift is too big. Even that $1 billion, that, you know, that might be out there somewhere. If Elon Musk is listening to the show, give us a call 1-877-291-0123, or go to the Relevant Radio app and relevantradio.com. You can donate. It'll make you feel good, and it'll certainly help us to keep this great programming on the air.
Absolutely. So make that pledge right now. Give from the heart. And again, any amount you donate is matched dollar for dollar. RelevantRadio.com, the Relevant Radio app, or call us 877-291-0123.